What's up, everybody? This is Tanner from TanManBaseballFan.com. I feel like I'm a broken record when I say this, but it feels like the last several episodes, I start off by saying, "Oh, I'm sorry, it's been so long." Well, here you go. I'm sorry it's been so long for me to do another episode here. Things have been just like very, very, very busy, so it's difficult to carve out some time to just talk baseball cards. Plus, I think a lot of that is, I found that my brain gets going in the direction of more thinking about baseball cards when I'm actually buying and selling, trading, working on a deal, so on and so forth. So, it's kind of a weird deal, but here I am. I don't want to post a podcast episode where I'm like forcing it, you know what I mean? Like, so, and I've been doing this, I think, for probably a good 3 years now or something. So I've said a lot already, and I want to kind of give some good content out there, and I think I've succeeded in many episodes. Maybe I failed in a few, maybe I failed in many, I don't know. But I was thinking about a topic that's come to my mind quite a bit over the past really couple months. And I've discussed this before with you, but I think it's probably worth taking a dive even further now. And I also wanted to tell you about some of the latest things I've gotten to pick up and everything, which is really fun. And like, I'm actually super psyched about some of them. So I think I'll start there, actually. And one thing that's interesting is I feel like I've missed a lot, if that makes sense. There have been a lot of big cards that have fallen into my lap in terms of being able to offer first on them, and I've swung and missed a handful of times. Now, thankfully, I've hit a few as well, but I think when I stand back, I think I just really need to be thankful that I've had the opportunities, and hopefully will continue to have opportunities that a lot of other collectors don't have, which is being privy to some of these big cards before they hit the market. So today actually was one of those days, and excuse me, and I don't know if I will discuss, you know, I think I am. I just think I'm going to tell you, because I don't know if there's many Kinseco guys out there that listen to this. So I feel like that's kind of, this is going to be something that a lot of Kinseco guys are going to be frothing at the mouth for. So, because it's considered by many to be perhaps, I'm so sorry for coughing, you guys, perhaps his best card ever, which, it's not an undisputed card, but I'll tell you what, it's a card that I sought after the most for years. And so this actually ends up being a double, which is wildly unheard of, you guys. Like, it's bizarre, it's bananas. And so I'll tell you what it is. it's a card that a friend of mine who's very big into the 90s, 2000s, inserts and parallel scene, and he reached out to me yesterday. He said, "Hey Tanner, I have a guy that is interested in parting with a Kinseco card," and he shows me a picture, and it is a 1996 I still can't believe it, you guys, Select Certified Mirror Gold Kinseco. That's PSA 8. Now, you guys, like, this is super nutty. That card, without me really kind of discussing price, has, to my knowledge, sold higher than any other Kinseco card before, in any grade. And it's really kind of exciting thing, because the power for it for me is not necessarily to make money off of it. And it's not certainly not to have like two of these cards, though I'll enjoy having two of them for a while. It's the cards that it will bring into my collection that I don't yet have. Because, like I said, it's a record breaker. It's a card that many people see as the number one card. Now, why would this be considered the number one card? There's a few reasons. Number one, 1996 Mirror Gold is the first time that there's an actual ultra rare parallel that was really kind of announced. So when you think of rare cards, and we actually did a poll on this like a couple years back at Blowout, for the Blowout forums, like what is the, you know, number one like 90s parallel or insert, and many people said the 1993 Topps Finest Refractor. So I would like to make it clear that I don't think that there's anything wrong with the 93 Topps Finest Refractor. They're beautiful. They're amazing. You know, I really, really, really like them. But there were an estimated 241 copies of those made, which at that time I think was ultra, ultra low. So fast forward a couple years later, a few years later to 96, the Mirror Golds had a print run of 30. Now, not only were they a print run of 30, but they were drop dead gorgeous, just very beautiful cards. So, you know, that's kind of, you know, a lot of people think of the 96 Mirror Golds as, you know, the holy grail of many collections. Like, people look for those more so than many other cards out there. They're even out of fives and one of ones and that sort of thing. And so, you know, I think that's probably a good segue into what I wanted to talk about anyways. But I'll share probably at the end, if I can remember, another couple really good pickups that I've gotten, you know, recently. But anyways, the 96 Mirror Gold, I think to a lot of the newer collectors into the space, probably are not going to understand really what the big deal is. They will when they see the cards, because they're gorgeous. And it's a type of card where, you know, once you get it in your head, you can't get it out of your mind at all. You know, they're that beautiful. They're really, really nice cards. And you think about it from, you know, now that we're looking at coming up on really kind of 30 years. And so for 30 years, we've had people seeking these out, trying to build sets, whether they're a complete set or a team set of their guy, or collect their favorite player. All this kind of creates this perfect storm. The first one, like the granddaddy grail of them all, a super low print run, which is really funny, right? Because out of 30 nowadays is nothing. They pump out of 25, out of 10, out of 5 cards, like a few of them for each player, like every month it seems like, and multiples at that. That wasn't the case back in 96. You had very, very, very few people or cards in that era that were like that. And so anyways, so a lot of people that are new to the hobby might think that the almighty serial number is the number one factor in determining value. And so you think, well, gosh, you know, out of 30, that's not very rare. There's all kinds that are out of 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, and of course, one of ones. Why such a big deal for out of 30s? So in the past couple of years, especially, there's been an interesting phenomenon that has kind of reared its ugly head. And I think a lot of it is in the way of the Topps buybacks and the Leaf cards. So the one of one has been a card type that everybody gets because really kind of looks for, because you can lift up this card that has that magical one of one foil stamped serial number and hold it up to the light and say, I am the only one that has this card. And this is amazing. It feels good that I am in this exclusive one of one club where I'm the only member. And don't get me wrong, one of ones truly are something to behold. But I think we have to be a little more discerning now, especially because of Topps buybacks and all of the Leaf one of ones. Leaf, especially the past year or two, has done rainbows in one of ones. And there are some out there where I think there are some copies of cards that have 50, 60, 70, maybe 100 one of ones of the same card, which is absolutely nutty, right? Like, if you ask me if the hobby was going to go this way back in 2019, I would say, heck no, there's no way, because that's insane. Well, the top buybacks have flushed through and recycled the same cards with different serial numbers for the past 8 years, I think it is, over and over and over again, and 7-8 years, something like that, which is really frustrating to collectors as well. So to get a true one of one, something that is unique from the others, is kind of rare, and that's normally really kind of just relegated to the barrel cards and knob cards and that sort of thing, because they won't have multiple knobs and multiple barrels these days. They reserve them for the one at once. And even then, you know, like you have a barrel or a knob or something, they're going to create possibly a handful of that same player. Sure, there might only be one, you know, 2023 Cal Ripken Jr. barrel from Topps Museum, but what about from National Treasures or Triple Threads or Flawless or, you know, whatever Leaf is doing, like just all kinds of them out there. And not to mention, you know, the dozens of other card brands out there. So it's really kind of a weird place for us to be in this hobby, I think. But the good thing is, of course, we have a lot of one of ones to spread around. And interestingly enough, it sounds like that the prices would go down, but you know, yeah, the prices might have been down since COVID, but overall, they're still, from what I could tell, way up, especially the vintage stuff. But we're mainly talking about the serial number stuff for now. So anyways, really, really interesting. So the question is, why is it that a lot of the 90s cards that are serial numbered to maybe 25 or 50 are absolutely whooping the tails of all of these modern one of ones? I think there's a number of factors, and which, you know, we'll go back to this Kenseiko that I have a double of, which we'll just say it's a several thousand dollar card. You know, like I said, a record breaker. I'm privy to these sales because I've actually been involved in a couple of them myself. But in fact, the only one that I know that's ever been to market, like on eBay, as a single was 2019, January 2019. And I think the end price back then was $2,700. And I found out by the underbidder that he reached out and he was like, hey, by the way, I'm willing to go higher than that, and I wanted to, but I forgot to go back and check that auction. I was doing the other auctions also, or instead. And so he had reached out to me 2, 3, 4 times saying, hey, I'll give you this, this, and this, and this amount of money for it. And I'm like, no, of course not. So anyways, it's a card that went for a few thousand back then. Probably, I'd imagine he probably would have upped it to 3,000 or 4,000. Now it's worth a good bit more, which is really incredible. I guess you really can't tell exactly how much, right? How much they go for, because you really don't know until you actually put them on eBay, and see how they go. But anyways, pretty interesting stuff. The 96 Mirror Gold is not the only one that does really well. There's a lot of 90s cards that do really well, and maybe not as well as the 96 Mirror Gold, but it begs the question, why is it that there's so many one of ones that could go for $100 or maybe $200, where the Mirror Gold that has 30 copies goes for way, way, way more? And I think there's a number of factors that come into play here. And one of them that's really interesting to investigate and really think about is the market, the target audience of who is looking for these cards. If you have a Jose Canseco one of one, then you're going to have somebody that is a Canseco collector only go for it. And you're going to have a small audience, especially if it's the newer ones and there's not really a whole lot going for it. Like, let's say it's just a regular Topps Panini or Leaf card. It's not autographed. It's just like a different foil from the regular base. So, and keep in mind, the 96 Mirror Gold, it doesn't have an autograph. It doesn't have anything like that. There's no patch or anything. It's just really kind of just a card. So, for the 96 Mirror Gold, you have three markets that you're going at. You have the Canseco guys. You have the Red Sox guys. The Red Sox guys, because Canseco is a Red Sox card. That's what the 96 Mirror Gold is. And you also have the Mirror Gold set collectors. So that kind of creates three competing markets for each other once these show up. Now, another thing is we kind of tend to glaze over a lot of the one-of-ones that are put out because there's so many that are pumped out from day to day. And it's really kind of a weird deal. So, I never never thought I would have seen this. I remember when I first got back into collecting Canseco seriously, like hardcore, back in 2013, 2014, if you had a dozen one of ones, you're at the top of the list. Like, you had an amazing collection. Now, when it comes to one of ones, there's people out there that have dozens upon dozens upon dozens of them. And, it's quite a strange thing because they're going to keep printing them day in, day out. And there are some that still go for really good money. There's a Super Fractor, no autograph or anything, that sold recently for $1,900. I mean, what the heck? I think there might have been some funny business in that. I'm not sure. I don't know. But that's for another another episode, I think. So it's really kind of an interesting thing because you think from the outside looking in, a card out 30 versus a one of one, what would be more valuable? And I think more people would probably say the one of one if they don't really know what they're looking at. So I think also there's not just the set collectors and team set collectors and player collectors. There's also guys that are just wild about 90s cards, because typically speaking, the 90s cards are going to be cards of players during their career. Whereas if you're a collector of cards and players from the 80s and 90s, when they're made now, it's all post-career. I saw a buddy posted this on Facebook the other day saying, like, yeah, the new stuff does not appeal to me of Canseco because it's all post-career. Why would I want that? And I can understand that. I love a lot of the post-career cards, but probably more of the post-career cards I don't care for much at all. So it's really kind of an interesting mix. And it's not just that either. It is the scarcity. Like, some of these cards that are out of 25, they'll pop up every now and then. And it's like not really a big deal. But there's some cards like that Mirror Gold that literally never pop up. And like I said, the only single for the Mirror Gold Conseco I've seen was on eBay back in 2019. So about 5 years ago, and haven't seen another pop as a single since or before. And it's just really kind of a weird thing. And I was actively looking for it, you guys. Like I had an advertisement out there saying, if you have one, I'll pay a finder's fee and all this. Like it was pretty crazy. So really, really kind of a weird deal. Now here's a couple I'll go ahead and end on this, which is really kind of a fun little pickup thing. I had somebody reach out to me through email. And like I said, I've had a lot of people recently reach out to me personally, which has been great. Like, it's my favorite. I love it. He ended up having a 99 Upper Deck MVP Superscript numbered out of 25, which was really a card that I had to check. You know, I was like, I don't think I had this one before. I checked with a couple other friends that are super collectors that have been in the game for a lot longer than I have. And they all said, like, whoa, I've never had this either. I've never seen one. And so I go, huh. So I ended up making a deal with this guy. And I was a little concerned because he didn't have PayPal or Venmo or Zelle or anything. All he wanted was a check. And I go, ah, I hate doing this because this is how scams start, right? So I was like, well, I will... this is such a rare card. Again, it's a 99 and it's out of 25. Yet it's never surfaced before. So I think I'm willing to take a risk, especially because he showed me a picture. And lo and behold, it reached my mailbox a couple days ago, which, woohoo, I'm really excited. But interestingly enough, there's another superscript. From the next year, 2000 Upper Deck Superscript, which is just as rare, number-wise, out of 25. And also, I've never seen that one before, nor had some of my other friends seen it. Well, that popped up also from a completely different seller, and I ended up getting that one as well. Really, really happy about being able to get those. I'm actually waiting for that one to come in. And I don't know, I think landing some of these like older cards has really sparked something for me because especially like the 99, 2000, like the cards when he was playing, like, yeah, I was 19, 20 years old when those came out, but you know, I don't know, there's something about them. Like you could literally have pulled either one of those cards and have watched him live hit a home run. No, there's something really cool about that. I really like that. I feel like there's more soul into those cards than nowadays. And don't get me wrong, the card companies these days are making some beautiful pieces of art, but really it feels like more of a machine than anything, if that makes sense. I'm not saying it wasn't a machine back then that printed them, of course, but it just feels like there's not as much heart into them, if that makes sense. I don't know if that really is going to hit home with anybody, but that's kind of how it feels like for me. So anyways, getting these low number cards that I've never seen, all within a week, like it's funny. And this stuff has happened to me before also, where you have two rare cards that are kind of connected to each other, never seen them before, either before, and they both pop up. Like it's really wild, but anyways, that's that, I guess, you know? So very thankful for him. I might have something, knock on wood, cooking, like, that's pretty massive. So, you know, stay tuned on that. Really looking forward to it. Really hoping things work out. So stay tuned. We'll see how it goes. But anyways, as for this episode, I think that's all. You know, thank you, as always, for listening. And if you have any questions or want me to speak about a certain topic, you can always email me, tanmanbaseballfan@gmail.com. You can also reach out to me if you have any interest in having a custom card done. I've done all kinds of things recently, crazy, crazy cards. I've done, you know, cut autograph cards of Tom Brady, Michael Jordan, George Washington in the past. I've done some for pets that have passed away. I've done wedding engagement cards. I've done all kinds of crazy stuff. In fact, today I just wrapped up a card that includes all kinds of relics from custom jeans that were CC Sabathia's. So all kinds of wild things. You can find those on my Facebook as well as my Instagram, Tan Man Baseball Fan. I'll probably post that CC Sabathia card in the next week or so. I've got other projects I want to post before that that I've been waiting on, like the a cut autograph of the creator of Mario and Zelda. I've got Mickey Mantle. I've got this crazy 29 signature booklet of the Texas Rangers I did. All kinds of things, you guys, and lots of crazy things coming ahead as well. So that's all for tonight, and thank you for listening, and I hope you all have a great rest of your evening.